Good morning to each one of you. Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. I've been blessed by being here so far with each person that spoke. Randy, thank you for your thoughts there. Sticking close to God's word and the Sunday school as well. And it just goes along with a little bit what I was thinking about this morning. I titled the message, Just Do the Next Right Thing. And we as humans would like to see pretty far ahead in the future. God is saying, just do the next right thing. Sometimes we can't see real far. Thought about even with Javen, funeral coming up. Of course, some of you's closer to James and Carrie. The right thing was to go there. But the right thing for the next person, not everybody could go to their doorstep. So the next right thing for the next person was stay at home. So heed the Spirit. Maybe you're trying to make a decision and it's not very clear. Maybe it's just doing what you're doing till God reveals something more. Just do the next right thing. Turn to Luke 15. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this here. Leray just preached a sermon on this passage, but I just want to pick out a few little things here. I have three little stories that I want to go over this morning. This is one of the stories. Luke 15, verse 12 to 24. This is the prodigal son. And this passage here, I want to look at, he went from selfishness to rejoicing. Luke 15, verse 12, verse 11. It's Jesus speaking, and he said, a certain man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And he divided unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. When he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet afar off, his father saw him and had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said to his servant, bring forth the best robe, put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, shoes on his feet. Bring hither the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found, and they began to be merry. Verse 12 there, we see selfishness. A selfish person went to verse 13, separation. It's he was just, could you say, sick and tired of being sick and tired at home. Just wanted to leave. Verse 14, destitution, spiritual destitution. Verse 16, starvation. This morning, I believe God allows people to get to the end of themselves. You could say here, well, he wasn't taking the right steps. We're just thinking about just take the next right thing, do the next right thing. Or you could say take the next right step. But I do believe God allows us sometimes to get to the end of ourselves before we start climbing the steps of repentance. Verse 16 and 17, he took a really big step there in the right direction. Realization. He realized how good his father had it at home. And he was starving. So the next right step, the next right decision, direction would have been realization. Verse 18, resolution. That was the next right step that he was doing. Resolution would be fixed purpose or determination of mind. He wanted something different. Verse 19, the next right thing to do was repentance. And am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. We see he repented, and that was a perfect thing for him to do. Verse 20, return. He did a complete turnaround and started going back. Also verse 20, reconciliation. He wanted to be reconciled again. And then verse 23 and 24, they began to be merry, rejoicing. So he went from selfishness to rejoicing. He was taking some very good steps. Second thing I have is turn to 2 Kings. Old Testament account here. I think it's very familiar to each one of us. 2 Kings 6. Verses 1 to 7. 2 Kings 6, 1 to 7. And the sons of the prophets said unto Elisha, behold now, the place where we dwell with thee is too strait for us. That word strait means it's too small. They needed a bigger place. Let us go, we pray thee, unto Jordan, and take thence every man a beam, and let us make us a place there where we may dwell. And he answered, go ye. And one said, be content, which at merge means pleased, I pray thee, and go with thy servant. And he answered, I will go. And he went with them. And when they came to Jordan, they cut down wood. But as one was felling a beam, the axe head fell into the water. And he cried and said, alas, master, for it was borrowed. And the man of God said, where fell it? And he showed him the place. And he cut down a stick and cast it in thither, and the iron did swim. Therefore, said he, take it up to thee, and put out his hand and took it. So to the children, a piece of steel swimming went to the bottom and it came to the top. We could say that's a miracle. A piece of wood might float, but not metal. So we know that God had a miracle here. Jesus had a miracle. And that word, alas, master, means help. Help, master. He was needing help. When you borrow something from others, maybe it's a friend, and it gets ruined, what is the next right thing to do? Fix it or replace it? Maybe we should be more, say this more. Help, master. He's the one that can help us. Sometimes you go into the hardware store and you hear this assistance needed at the electrical area. Maybe sometimes we should be asking God assistance needed in the health department. Maybe you have parents that are aging. Maybe you have children that are sick. We need to ask God for help in that department. Or maybe it's the raising teenagers. God, we need help. what's the next right thing to do is ask for help. Or maybe it's in the child training department. A lot of young families. God has things for us in His Word for the child training. I believe we could get into more or less messes if we would ask God for help and pray. Also, we could ask others for advice. I believe that would help us along life's way as well. I need you, Jesus, in this perplexing world. Help, Master, for it has been borrowed. The next one, turn to Luke 17. Luke 17, verse 11. I'd like to read verse 11 to 19. And it came to pass, as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering, said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole. So these men were leprous. They had leprosy. So they couldn't be with others. And very contagious. They wore black clothing so others could see that they had leprosy. They needed to stay 6 feet away from anyone, family members, and they could not live within the city wall. And leprosy, of course, was a type of sin in the Bible. Imagine the emotional pain and the mental pain that these 10 men had. They were ready for something different. They were ready for Jesus. These men had a need. What was the next right thing for these 10 men to do? And that was call out to Jesus, their healer, for help. How far away do you think these men were from Jesus? I would like to have a little open discussion. How, in your mind, as you think about this story, how far away do you think these men were from Jesus? You know, he had a pretty big group around him, and they had to be 6 feet away from that group. So in your mind, are you thinking 100 yards? I would like to hear a little bit. What do you think? Marcus, what do you think? How far do you think? Yeah, that's where I would. I don't know the Bible doesn't really say 6 feet away from any person, but I'm not sure about that. It just says here that they were, and they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Which stood afar off, verse 12. And I just don't know how far that is. I just didn't know if someone... So they had to lift up their voice. I don't think they whispered. I think they were pretty loud. I'm guessing they probably cupped their hands over their mouth because they were in emotional pain and mental pain. So I believe they wanted help. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Verse 14, it says, Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest, and that was obedience. They obeyed, and the next right thing to do was obey after Jesus said that. And then verse 15, one came back to say thank you. When someone does something for you, and I'm preaching to myself as much as anybody else, but it's pretty easy to just not say anything. Sometimes it gets pretty close home to even family members. We forget sometimes. And I think God wants us to say thank you, use our manners, and also, of course, thank Jesus for what he did. Take inventory and give God the glory is a phrase I've seen one time. Take inventory and give God the glory. So verse 19, he had spiritual healing. I believe there, the one that came back, Jesus gave him the assurance of salvation. That's a wonderful promise. What can we learn from the one who returned to give thanks? I believe Jesus Christ wants us to return to him continually. Sometimes you might walk away a little bit, but keep coming back to Jesus and worship Jesus as the source of power and strength for your life. One more passage, closing. Turn to Ephesians 4. These are some very powerful verses here. Ephesians 4, verse 27 to 32. Let's go to 25. It's hard to know where to start here. Ephesians 4, verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. These verses here, how is our communication? How is our speech? Is it negative? Is it evil speaking? Are we angry? Is it easy to get bitter? Do we have impure thoughts? Is it easy to lie? I think we see all those in these verses here. Satan loves corrupt communication, corrupt speech. Satan loves it. So what is the next right thing to do when some of these things are tempting us? Well, I believe it's to tell Satan to get behind us. And we need Jesus the healer. This morning, Satan loves to put doubt in our mind. Life is not worth it. Remember, God put us here for a reason, and God and life is worth it. Jesus said, no matter what you face, I will be with you. Those are encouraging words. If people are unkind, if people speak evil of you or are bitter to you, what is the next right thing to do? I love verse 32 here. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another. It's forgiving them and being kind. Kind goes a long way, kindness. Now, just a page over Ephesians 3. A few verses here I would really like to read in closing. Ephesians 3, verse 13 to 20. Wherefore, I desire that ye faint not at my tribulation for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family is in heaven and earth is named, that he may grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I love verse 18 there. God's love is broad. God's love is long. God's love is really deep. And God's love is really high. And if we want to know the love of Christ, we need to dig into his word and focus on Jesus. Verse 20, God can do lots more than we can ever imagine or even talk about. According to the power that worketh in us, God is the one that gives us power. The prodigal son started out being selfish. It was all about himself, and he ended up rejoicing. I came across this phrase. You probably heard the phrase, hurting people hurt others. If hurt people can hurt people, imagine what healed people can do. Thought that was good. Let's kneel for prayer.